Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. But I want to start the broadcast today with a quote of the day from St. John Chrysostom. I thought I'd do that because this was in our church bulletin on Sunday, and I was very moved by it, and I think you will be as well. Just for some context, St. John Chrysostom fell asleep in Christ in the year 407. His voice, however, is still heard expounding the scriptures and proclaiming the gospel. Century after century, the surviving works of Christianity's most eloquent preacher, and that's a mouthful, have been printed and preserved, studied, examined by students and by theologians alike. It's pretty interesting if you think about Chrysostom. He was not imposing. He was small, pale, emaciated, somewhat bald. He had piercing deep eyes and a message, however, that was loud and clear. In volume upon volume, he continues to be published in our very day. And again, here is a sample from one of his works as he is referring to Jesus Christ, the rock of our faith. And here's the quotation. The sea is surging, and the waves are high. But we have nothing to fear because we stand on a rock. We stand on the rock of faith. Let the sea surge with all the power at its command, and let the waves rise as high as mountains. The rocks on which we stand will remain firm and unshaken. Do I fear death? No, because on the rock of faith, I know that death is the gateway to eternal life. Do I fear exile? No, because on the rock of faith, I'm never alone. Christ is always beside me, my friend and my brother. Do I fear slander and lies? No. Because on the rock of faith, I know that I am always protected by truth. Christ, who is the truth, is my protector. Do I fear poverty? No. Because on the rock of faith, God also provides for all my needs. Do I fear ridicule? No, because however low I may sink in the esteem of those without faith, on the rock of faith, all are treated with respect. Far from fearing the surge of the sea, I enjoy it because it assures me that the rock on which I stand is immovable. You can imagine he died in 407, and he has been in the presence of the Lord. He has been in the presence of the rock that solidified forever the faith once for all delivered to the saints. I think in a world like ours, where people's fears have led them to do the unthinkable, these kinds of quotations solidify our faith. You think about an article that I read just the other day about the suicide rate among Americans. I'm talking about Americans of working age. That suicide rate increased 34%. And that according to a report released just the other day by the CDC. And that is just between the year 2000 and 2016. The point here is that suicide has now become the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. and is one of the three leading causes that are on the rise in the U.S. Overall, suicide rates are in the rise in almost every state in the United States of America. We have a society of stressed out people. And we have to recognize that suicide is not just a secular problem. Some would think that, of course, it would be just a secular problem, particularly in light of the quote from John Chrysostom that I just read. When we have a rock, an unmovable, unshakable foundation, how in the world would we as Christians dare contemplate suicide? But the truth of the matter is, suicide is not relegated to any particular segment of society. And as the incidence of suicide continues to rise, I'm frequently asked whether suicide is an unforgivable sin. You've probably heard people call in on the Bible Answer Man broadcast who are contemplating the unthinkable. Can I commit suicide? What will the Lord think if I do? Well, as said many times, the truth of the matter is no single act is unforgivable. Because from a biblical perspective, the unforgivable sin is a continuous, ongoing, willful rejection of forgiveness. Those who refuse forgiveness through Christ will spend eternity separated from His love and grace. But those who sincerely desire forgiveness can be absolutely certain that God will never spurn them. I would add quickly that while suicide is not an unforgivable sin, those who take the sacred name of Jesus Christ upon their lips, Christians, dare not contemplate taking their lives. Our lives belong to God, and He alone has the prerogative to bring them to an end. Suicide is the murder of oneself. As such, it is a direct violation of the sixth commandment. Indeed, suicide is a direct attack on the sovereignty of the very one who knit us together in our mother's womb. And while I'm thinking about being knit together in our mother's womb, I can't help but think about what happened just a few weeks ago. The Alabama Supreme Court unanimously ruled in the case of Jesse Phillips versus the state of Alabama that the value of the life of an unborn child is no less than the value of the lives of other persons. And in a concurring opinion, Justice Parker boldly called on the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. He said, "I urge the Supreme Court of the United States of America to reconsider the Roe exception and to overrule this constitutional aberration." And then he recommended that the court return the power to the states to fully protect the most vulnerable among us. The case came before the Alabama Supreme Court. Why? Because Jesse Phillips was a man convicted of murdering his wife and their preborn child. And he was appealing his conviction. His argument was that he shouldn't receive the death penalty because his 6 to 8 week preborn child should not be considered a person under Alabama law. Well, the Alabama legislature expressly enacted the Brody Act 12 years ago to protect preborn babies. The Brody Act is consistent with numerous other sections of Alabama law, which recognizes the equal status of the child in the womb. And so in his powerful concurring opinion, Justice Parker noted that the old law was changed with the expressed intent of addressing just this sort of double murder, the one of which Phillips was convicted. The national significance of this case cannot be underestimated, since the question of personhood has been the linchpin to the so-called right to abortion ever since Justice Blackmun erroneously wrote in Roe v. Wade that children in the womb are not persons and therefore not entitled to any of the fundamental constitutional protections. I think every now and then we ought to be very, very glad for this kind of a man having this kind of a position and then not being silent, but speaking out as we all ought to with conviction, as John Chrysostom did in the quote of the day. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back with more of the Bible in Spin broadcast.
The breathtaking new film, The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, is a double-duty resource. It will not only bless and inspire you, your family, and your loved ones, but also challenge any agnostic or atheist friends to reconsider the reliability of their opinion concerning our origins. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Did you know that with each passing year, it's easier to find atheists in university philosophy departments than in physics departments? The reason is that physicists are increasingly unable to explain away the unfathomable intelligence that is becoming evident as science unfolds the exquisite fine-tuning of the universe. But atheist philosophers, often unburdened by the discoveries of science, are more inclined to dismiss discoveries that fail to fit a worldview allowing them to live as masters of the universe. The stunning film The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, and it's time that atheists and agnostics take notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
I want you, Randy, and also want you to remember that we have the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We have a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal out. I saw the first finished copy just about a half hour or so before I came on the radio today. The cover story, Solo Sex and the Christian. And this is not an article that is intended as clickbait. It is an article that has affected the very fabric of our society. And the church has historically spoken out in this regard. And once again, in the Christian Research Journal, we do so because it is a necessity. Although masturbation or solo sex is a nearly universal behavior, unfortunately today, unlike in the early church, it is hardly discussed in the church. However, the increasing support in the media for solo sex as a healthy activity means that the church must once again address this subject. The moral legitimacy of this behavior has long been debated in Christian circles. And to arrive at a biblical conclusion, we need to go beyond prohibitions to consider the positive teaching with respect to sexuality with its profound theological implications. God intends sexuality to teach us what it means to be made in His image and likeness, and more importantly, what it means to be in relationship with Him. When we understand the design of biblical sexuality coupled with the nature of Christian discipleship, it becomes clear that this is not a legitimate sexual activity. The central New Testament passage concerning sexuality and marriage makes absolutely plain that the focus of marital intimacy is satisfying my spouse, not a solo activity for personal pleasure. And in this way, our sexuality should reflect the larger call of discipleship to self-denial and love for others. There are, of course, obvious painful implications for single people who do not have a God-honoring outlet for their sexual desire, but this creates an opportunity for deeper fellowship with Christ, who, through His incarnation, poignantly understands unsatisfied human belongings. Couples need to consider how biblical sexuality governs their behavior in the marriage bed, and consider how self-pleasure violates the call to bless their spouse. One more point, and that is that parents need to get out of their comfort zones and face challenging conversations with their children in order to shepherd them through the media minefields of the 21st century. Today, it is all too easy to become politically correct as opposed to poignantly teaching our children in the way that has been given to us through the mystery of the church, the ground and the pillar of truth. All too often, we fail to recognize the blessing of the apostolic teachings. Of course, the apostles were able to look at the Old Testament and interpret the Old Testament for us. But we had the apostolic fathers who help us in carrying on the teaching of the apostles. And they are followed by the holy fathers of the church. These holy fathers continued to pass along the truths from generation to generation. They were the great teachers and exegetes, like John Chrysostom. And so we have a faithfully preserved tradition, a tradition that teaches us what those men were transmitting through the centuries with respect to what the Bible is teaching on things like sexuality, human sexuality. This is not a mystery for us. We have the teachings of the church guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we can be transcendently thankful for, that God has given us a repository of truth. And just because in the modern era, things begin to change, and we want to adapt to the culture, we must immediately recognize that that's not the way to go. Rather, we must adapt the culture to the Christ who put parameters around our lives so that our joy might indeed be full. Oftentimes, I think we fail to recognize the treasury that we have been given in the church and how those early disciples of the apostles were willing to face the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of a thousand deaths because they believed in truth. You think about Ignatius of Antioch and his martyrdom, or Polycarp, who famously said, 86 years have I served him. Am I now going to deny the Lord who saved me? He was willing to give his life to the flames for the truth that we have today as a repository in the church. All of this, of course, is true because we can demonstrate that the Bible is indeed correct through prophecy. I think of the fact, and I wrote about this in an article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, which, by the way, you can subscribe to in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. I think about the fact that 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah prophesied that the birthplace of Messiah would be Bethlehem. Think about that. Not just any Bethlehem, but Bethlehem Ephratah, which was on the outskirts of Jerusalem, not Bethlehem in the Zebulunite territory that was 11 kilometers northwest of Nazareth. Had Jesus been born anywhere other than Bethlehem, not just Bethlehem, but Bethlehem Ephratah, Micah's prophecy and consequently the whole of biblical prophecy would have been disqualified as distinctly divine as opposed to merely mortal in origin. Instead, in concert with the scriptures, Jesus was born precisely where predicted. And given the significance of Christ's birth in Bethlehem, it should not come as a surprise to anyone that details surrounding the fulfillment of this extraordinary prophecy are continually under attack. And we as Christians need to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect, which is precisely what I do in the practical hermeneutics section of the Christian Research Journal. I won't go over the attacks, but you will hear them in the media. You will read them in newspapers and magazines this Christmas season. And then you'll wonder, is there an answer to those attacks? And the answer is yes. In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, there are answers. In my book, Has God Spoken? There are answers. In The Heart of Christmas, there are answers. And in the research or resource that we are featuring for your support of the ministry this month, The Call of the Cosmos, there are answers. And that's really what we are equipped to do, to provide answers and to do that in a user-friendly way. What the organization is adept at is taking top apologetics and rendering it pop apologetics. Not slop apologetics, but in popular prose so that you can understand the arguments, you can assimilate the arguments, and then when you have an opportunity, use them as springboards or opportunities to communicate the truth, the love, the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. Again, the Christian Research Journal, brand new edition, hot off the press, as they say, available for those who subscribe at equip.org. And do remember as well that you can write for your copy at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And as I close today's broadcast, my distinct thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and for truth. You're making a difference in the lives of people all around the globe. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And tune in to tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast for more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.